Amen, brother. If we know these things, happy are you if you do them. Well, that's your message for today. We're going to put you in the circuit with preaching the main message. Get ready. That was a powerful word. And that's what we are. Yes, that's what we're doing in our leadership training. That it's influence. And when you look at our culture, the way the way we are by default, we got to go counterculture. That's another area we got to go counterculture. It's remarkable how we get used to things and how we grow up, and by default, if we've never learned it, if we've never done it, if it's been never done to us, we find it a real challenge to be an encourager, to be someone. I'm a person that I don't encourage so much, but I'm a person who's very rarely negative. I'm kind of in the middle there. Very rarely negative with people or around people or with people. And, and I'm thinking about that as we were doing our leadership studies, that that's actually only going halfways. That's only halfways. Not being negative. Looking for the positives always. But also actually speaking them out. And standing there. And that's what we're here for, brothers and sisters. There's no question about it. That's what we're here for. And that's what my message is about. Is, you know, we're kind of along the same lines. As we're doing these parenting studies, these leadership training, these youth studies, it's kind of making my head spin. These next 3-4 weeks. And this message might be something like that too. So I've been trying to... I'm going to cut it short as there's many different aspects to what we're doing. My message is on navigating our ships, number 3, as we are doing those, talking about the ingredients that are part of fellowship, that make fellowship successful. Keys, you could call them, or ingredients. And all of them, you know, what already was said today, they all come in there. And one thing we learn, and one thing I've learned, is they don't come naturally. None of those good ingredients just grow on us. They grow on us when we're actively engaged with the Holy Spirit, when we're listening to Him, when we are obedient to the little things in life and faithful. Yes, then they grow on us. But nothing good comes by accident. Growth, maturing is intentional. We must engage. We need to engage and step in and have for growth to happen. These points that I'm discussing today will be, number 3, will be simply, these are prerequisites again. And if you don't know what a prerequisite is, it's something that comes before. Something before. So before, when navigating our ships, the ship we're talking about is fellowship. That's the third one. To me, there's a higher one than fellowship, and that's oneness. That's friendship. And friendship grows out of fellowship. Because one relationship gives rise to another relationship, and it gives rise to another relationship. We can't just suddenly have oneness with brothers and sisters in the Lord by coming together on church on Sunday or submitting to a bunch of to a standard or a structure in the church. That will not produce oneness, nor does it produce fellowship. It's relationships that grow from being committed to one another to pursue the kingdom of God. Something like that. And if we do not keep moving there, we plateau as Christians. We plateau in our Christian life. And from there, we just exist. And I don't want to exist. If God grants me another 30 years of my life, I want to do something with them. And I can't do it alone. I need God's people. And you need me. We need each other. It's just the way it works. And we will only we'll only grow there if we put an effort into it and move in it. Our ship, brothers, is quite different. Quite different than most ships. You know, we're not just connected spiritually with a brotherhood. We're connected physically. We're not just committed to church structure and standards and boundaries and principles. We're connected physically in intentional Christian community. And that alone is a discussion by itself, which I will not get into. But when I stop and consider it, I've spent a lot of time analyzing the way we live. And we need to. If we want to grow somewhere, if we want to become what Christ wants us to be, we need to reflect. That's one of the things we learn in leadership. Reflect. And when we look at our intentional Christian fellowship, it differs greatly from all others' experiences that I've ever known or that I've ever seen. And the number one is we use community. Intentional Christian community is not the end in itself. It is the means to an end. It is the means to grow people. You see, the emphasis of a Christian church is to grow people instead of growing community. We use community to build people rather than use people to build a community. And the difference is incredibly huge. The difference is huge if you stop and think about it. When we emphasize structure and community, the ship, the individual, becomes less important. When we emphasize on people, the individual becomes valuable. Relationships become valuable. Growth becomes valuable. But it's all in part of that structure. When we emphasize structure or even your statement of faith, it becomes more valuable than the person. And thus the cause becomes big and the people become small. That's not how Jesus did it. Jesus focused on relationship. He focused on his disciples to grow them, nurture them, and be with them. And that's what I want to speak on here. So to review a little bit, last messages we covered faith, forgiveness, and forbearance. Those are the first three keys we discussed in the previous messages. That they need to be part of. They are essential keys to fellowship. They are essential keys to growth and the kingdom and develop those relationships that flourish and function. And now I'm going to move on to another one. I'd like to read Romans. Again, back in Romans, but I'm moving to the end of Romans. Romans 15. Romans 15, 1-3. Today we're going to look at a couple more. There's actually three more, but I think it's time will only permit me to do two. We'll see. Romans 15, verses 1-3. No, actually 1-5. Let's listen. This is college Christianity. This is mature Christianity. This is where we value relationships more than the ship itself. We value people. We then that are strong, and that goes together with the brother's opening, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Well, we could say, well, we're all weak. No, we like to say we're strong. So if we're strong, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, verse 6, all the way to verse 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives a lofty goal here for the people of God. Paul puts forth a tremendous something to shoot for. And that has to be our goal. We can't live in intentional Christian brotherhood just because it's comfortable and it's good and it takes care of so many things. We have to have a goal. We got to shoot for something. And it's not just the leaders that do, it's the individuals. Every one of us has something to shoot for, and that's to become like Jesus Christ personally. And for the community, it's to become a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, where he can in reality live and move amongst us for the full power of the Christian life to be known down here on earth, for the full unleashing of God's glory and power will only come through his bride. And so the first one, the fourth one that we're going to discuss, the first three were faith, forgiveness, and forbearance. Very powerful ones. We discussed them last time. We move on to the fourth one, that is flexibility. Flexibility is a powerful term. And again, if you study into it, you recognize only then how meaningful it is. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, Paul says something very interesting. Everybody just likes the last part, but he says the first part is very important. I know how to be brought low. I'm reading this in the English Standard Version. And I know how to abound. That means I know it's no problem for me to live low with little. Even in times of testing, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. I know how to live it up. Well, you can take that too far. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. You know what it says? I've learned the secret of having much and of having little. And when we know that secret, brothers and sisters, we are not worried what the world does. We're not suddenly, oh my, things are going to be bad. We're not going to be able to go shopping anymore. Oh, that's so sad, isn't it? Might be the best thing that ever happened in this earth. And we won't be able to go and waste money on stuff that's not going to be worth, ends up in a junk heap anyway, before the year's out. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a beautiful verse. And you know, everybody says that. But when life circumstances are not ideal, do we say that? Yeah. When we've been living in affluent America the last 30, 40 years, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No big deal. But now comes, we see the shakings. Oh, we want to shoot them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's got to be the attitude. It's being flexible. And now I'm bringing the flexibility over to relationships. To be flexible in relationships means being open to new ideas, different ways of doing things, to other adventures, even different life experiences. When we cling to what is and to what we know, it can result in coming to a standstill. And that is actually true in our own experience. Just this study on becoming a person of influence in our leadership is shaking our thinking. We know so much of Scripture, that's not the problem. Put shoe leather on it. Be a positive influencer. Be an encourager. We find out we have to step out of our comfort zone. Being flexible again is not being weak. It's being strong. The tree sways in the wind. If it wouldn't, it would break. The suspension, an airplane's wings flex in turbulence. Otherwise, that'd be disaster. Suspension on vehicles takes out the bumps in the road. Being in a fellowship and not being flexible is like driving down the highway in a dune buggy. Every bump in the road becomes a crisis. Every bump in the road becomes a major obstacle. It becomes an experience, or you know, not experience. It's a pronounced and exaggerated. The bump makes the non-suspension makes the bump worse. A dilemma. And why? Because we're rigid in our thinking. Where our neural pathways are established and we have a hard time thinking outside the box. And so we're easily offended. If we're the rigid type, everything must be so and so and so. Even at the expense of relationships. And we see that from our background. And I don't want to bash it either. But we need to walk forward. We need to push forward. Rigid, when we're rigid in our thinking, it's my way or the highway. And what does that do? It drives people away. It drives, it puts wedges in relationships. Marriages. Just think about it, you spouses. If it's your way or the highway, don't expect a lovey-dovey marriage. You're not going to have it. It's got to be flexible. Sway. Give. Life is one big change. And we need to learn to adapt. Change. And growth is change. And when we have that idea, when we have that mentality, we learn to value people ahead of our preferences, for instance. People become more valuable than even the structure. If the structure is more valuable than people, we'll shoot down people to hold the structure. But the structure is meant to build people. It's the guardrails on the highway. The guardrails that keep us from hitting the ditch. But we don't even think about the guardrails when we're going down the road. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're driving down the road in a dune buggy, you have to navigate around each bump so gingerly. You know, everything becomes an issue. You tiptoe around the bumps. When you got a good suspension, you just go right through them. You know, the things, you know, it flexes, but you know, sometimes we bend the shock absorber, but you know what? We make it through. And our lives are like that. We're in the same ship, and we need to recognize the value of being flexible. The Pharisees are the pinnacle of inflexible religion. And they can only walk 15 steps on Sunday, it's maybe exaggerated, but they can only walk a certain amount of steps on Sunday. They can only carry something, I don't know, on Sunday. That guy that carried his bed was confronted. Hey, you're carrying your bed. That's not lawful on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were critical. When the Pharisee invited Jesus home to his house in Luke 11, verse 37, he became so critical of Jesus because he started eating without washing his hands. Yeah, we might do too, huh? But he didn't wash his hands. He didn't go through the rituals. And the Pharisee was offended. When the woman came in and washed Jesus' feet, the Pharisee had nothing but suspicion and evil thoughts. Because his little brain was blown. The rigid thinking, the fences he had boxed himself in, he couldn't see beyond and he couldn't see out of them. And he could not get Christ's love. Jesus prioritized people. And so he healed on the Sabbath. They walked through the cornfields and they ate the corn. And they did one thing after another. And the rigid Pharisees allowed no room for variation. Allowed no room for no flexibility. If you didn't dress a certain way. If you didn't, you know. I could go on here. And when we're inflexible, here's how you can tell if you're an inflexible person. You're easily stressed out. Assess yourselves. We're easily stressed out. Our status quo is shaken. We become agitated and irritated and angry easily. Whether it's on the job site, and whether it's church structure, whether it's with things we see in the church family, or no matter what, that is a sign that we are not flexible enough. And if you want fellowship to flourish, this is a must. Amen. This is a must. Because growth can only happen in a flexible environment. Right, Jesus said it. I just came to this verse here. Where Jesus said, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And that's why in our culture, in our background, and in many Anabaptist circles, we see when life starts going on inside it, when people get born again and the Holy Spirit starts moving, the wineskin is old and tired and bent and busted. You know, the wineskin is rigid and hard, and it cannot take the fizzing and the expansion, the flexibility of the new wine. So God forbid that our church should ever become an old wineskin. Allow for flexibility. So that means we need to constantly tend it so it stays flexible. In brotherhood relationships, it is imperative to value people above the structure and the standards. When it comes to fellowship, we must decide if we're on the team and part of the team. And if we are on the team, it is no longer about me. It's about us. Can we make sacrifices? Can we be flexible? Can we alter our plans and ambitions? Can we give preference to others? Can we do something out of the order? Can we let something go for the good of all? Do we value fellowship? Do we value the team? Be flexible. But not so flexible that we're a glob. I'm flexible. We have bones. I'm standing upright. That shows I have structure. My body is supported fully. But I've got joints. And they give me flexibility. That's the wonder of the human body. And that should be the wonder of the church. So, our next one is faithfulness. But you know what? Meditate on this one. Meditate on this one. Because as the people of God, we have a lot. Everybody comes with a package. We grow up a certain way, the way it was in our homes maybe, the way it was in our... And now, the young generation that grew up here did not know any of what we grew up and how we grew up. I get that. But there also must be a few things established in them, the valuable things that come from our culture. We cannot just harp on the one stone, but, you know, the rigid stuff. There was good things. There were good things. That's part of the reason why many of are here today. Is because of the good things from our culture and our past. And it's imperative that we learn, that we retain the flexibility to reach back and lay hold of some of those valuable principles while bringing them into the new, recognizing they have value, not just because the church has been dead and still dead for the greater majority. That doesn't mean it's all bad. So being flexible, like Jesus said, a true man, he brings out of his treasures, how was that verse ago? I don't know where it is. He brings from his storehouse both things, both new and old. Anybody know where that verse is? I think it's right where the wineskins are. But that shows flexibility too. That shows that we value things that are valuable. That we don't just react towards negative things. That we actually see the good. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to leave you here. I wanted to do faithfulness. There's two more in this session alone. But if I can't give each one a good 15 minutes or 10, then we're just skipping over it. And so, remember flexibility this time. Write it on your hearts. We'll do the others after New Year. There's faithfulness, and then there's fairness. It's another powerful one that deserves a message all by itself. And so, brothers and sisters, yes, we want our church to flourish. We want it to move in the right direction. Are we willing to do what it takes to navigate there? We must be willing. And I know many of you are willing, brothers and sisters. I'm not... There's one thing we... Just a couple of words here, close. One of the instructions we've gotten in our leadership training this week, and we'll do it for all of us. How about all of us do the same thing this in the next 30 days? We will say nothing but positive things about each other and to each other. No more negativity for the next 30 days. You find out some people might not have anything to say. Huh? Let's try it. Only positive the next 30 days. The older we are, the more we should put an effort in. Young generation, you too. And you know what? It might bring tremendous results. Tremendous results. So yeah, God bless you. I'll quit right here. Amen. The Lord be the glory. If you'd like to add a few words to the message, brothers, you're welcome to it.